right, everyone, welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown. A little bit of a special edition today because we're doing two in a week and we've never done this before, but Bitcoin just broke $100,000 in the last 36 hours. Ethereum is breaking over $4,000. Altcoins are moving 100% in a day, and there's actually been a couple of large cap altcoins that have been able to do this. We've officially got the announcement for the crypto czar position under the Trump administration and so much more. So how could we not make a second crypto market rundown when the markets are acting the way that they are right now? Sativa, are you feeling the same way? You know, this is actually your idea. You came to me and said, man, look at what is going on. We got to do another rundown. And I immediately was like, I agree. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, appreciate you for jumping on. Obviously, as the media producer, I get excited when there's stuff going on. And it's something that we've talked about. Obviously, we can't necessarily commit to doing three a week or three episodes total a week all the time. But when there's stuff going on, I think it's, you know, it's fun to do, number one. But it keeps us current. And I see a ton of new people coming in on YouTube, a ton of people coming in through the podcast networks. Our Spotify numbers are rocketing. I just got our Spotify Wrapped for the podcast, and it was showing, you know, like 80% growth over there. So ton of new people. We want to keep them up to date. And to that point, if you haven't listened to the Crypto Rundown that we literally recorded just, you know, 48 hours ago, there's a ton of information in that you'll want to listen to. So if you haven't listened to the one on Wednesday, please go back and listen to it after this, because there is going to be a ton of information that's happened this week alone that isn't going to be in this episode. So both the episodes are what you need to listen to, so you're fully caught up with this week's crypto stuff. But how can you not circle back and make an episode after the absolute milestone of Bitcoin, $100,000, literally $100,000 US for one Bitcoin this week, Brendan. And I know we were all fired up about it.
Oh yeah, I mean, we were really fired up in the group chats. You know, I know you were blasting Twitter with all sorts of funny videos. My favorite one is from the Super Bowl, and it's the "Can You Take Me Higher?" Who is that? Is that Creed? Is
that that was Creed Thanksgiving. I don't know how many years ago it was, maybe 15, 20 years ago, a Thanksgiving game at Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, I just, probably one of my all-time favorite videos that we put out, but it's, it's necessary. Bitcoin went all the way up to $104,000, and I'm going to go ahead and throw up the charts. So a quick reminder, if you're tuning in from Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Audible or anywhere else, and you want to see all of the visuals and charts and news articles and videos that we reference, then you need to go over to our YouTube channel. It's the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. We got a lot of great other content that goes up there. In addition to these rundowns, we have all sorts of interviews and tutorials that you're going to want to watch as well. So let's go ahead and click this up and put it on the screen here for everyone, because what we got was a break. And this is one of the things that we talked about in our Wednesday rundown, saying, hey, Bitcoin can do a breakout here above this week, outside of the kind of pennant that we had, to above $100,000. And, you know, sure enough, just yesterday we got that break and we went all the way up to $104,000, which was a level that a lot of people had been waiting for a really long time. Now, following this, we saw some serious volatility kick in on Bitcoin. And this is what we like to call a Darth Maul candle, where we have the kind of center candle body, and then we have the wick extending to the upside, the wick extending to the downside. And there was a ton of volatility. So we broke out, we went up to 104K, retraced all the way back down to around 91, 92K. Now we're all the way back up to 99K. And it's been liquidating everyone. I think I saw that over $100 million were liquidated in both directions, long, shorts. Everyone got whacked on a move like this one. However, the bulls are still prevailing. So there's two takeaways that I have here before we move on to Ethereum. Number one, we rejected 100K. We were not able to close above it. Number two, Bitcoin also prevented the fall and saw a lot, and I mean a lot of support around 90K. This move was so brief, and if we switch it down to even something like a 30-minute timescale, we can see that this entire move kind of down here was about 30 minutes long. And then within a few hours, Bitcoin was already back up to $99,000. So very short-lived fall. Buyers and bulls across the board were very comfortable buying Bitcoin below 90K and around that 90K support area. And not a single candle body closed below the 20-day moving average. So the buyers came in here. They said, yeah, you know, maybe we didn't get the close above 100K yet, but it still looks like that's on the table for Bitcoin. And it looks like the bulls are much more stronger than the bears. Yeah, they had a little bit of a sell-off. They're trying to defend that 100K resistance, but it looks like they're fighting a losing battle as Bitcoin continues to get bought up. And pressure is still squeezing to the upside as support is climbing and resistance is ultimately just staying the same. So things are looking good for the bulls of Bitcoin, and things are looking even better for the bulls of Ethereum, because Ethereum is breaking out above its really its local high here. And now what we're getting is Ethereum is recontesting its cycle highs of around 4 to 4.1K, which marks the highest level that we've seen Ethereum today since March of 2024. And, you know, Ethereum's had this really strong rally since the start of November. And, you know, as we've seen Bitcoin dominance and some of this stuff pull back, Ethereum has been able to rally 71% to the upside, and it looks like it's clearing some of the final stages of its resistance. With the next real big levels above maybe 4,100, the next big level above that is going to be the all-time high, close to 4,800. And that's one of the big levels that I'm keeping my eye on here, TiVo, is saying, hey, can Ethereum see new all-time highs? Can we get back up to those previous all-time highs? And I think it's something that is very, very possible, because one of the big news pieces to kind of hit the forefront this week or over the last week has been the fact that Ethereum ETFs have been doing really good. And we talked about that on Wednesday as well. The Ethereum ETFs are breaking inflow records. We're seeing days where the Ethereum ETFs are having more net inflows than the Bitcoin ETFs. And ultimately, price is really starting to catch up and appreciate here. And when we start to look at things like the ETH BTC ratio, which is putting in a nice little bottom and moving back up here, and also when we kind of pair this with the sharp fall that we've seen in Bitcoin dominance, you know, ETH is starting to look actually pretty good. So I'm net optimistic. Again, we're going to have our ups and downs. We've seen this a lot where we go up and pull back and up and pull back. And we just do this on constant repeat. So I don't think we're just going to jetpack up to a new all-time high of 5K. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see Ethereum kind of gradually work its way to higher prices. And I'm increasingly more bullish on Ethereum here. So, I mean, yeah, all good things around, TiVo. I know we got some altcoins that we want to dive into, but this has been a fun ride to catch.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, always a good reassurance of the lesson of be careful with your leverage of that Darth Maul candle that you talked about. So I actually have the total crypto market liquidations in a 24-hour period yesterday. It was $1 billion.
Oh, my goodness.
In the crypto markets liquidated. And probably the majority of it was within that period. I remember I was getting the alerts on my phone. I was like, damn. And I saw it go all the way down to 92 for, like you said, I mean, it was 10 minutes, 12 minutes tops, and then kind of went back up to 95, 96. So always a good, you know, again, reassuring that, you know, if you don't know what you're doing with leverage and the markets are frothy, you got to be careful. And again, never personal financial advice from us, but it did, it felt that euphoric feeling of 100. It felt like such a milestone just for the culture and the community of it. The timeline was buzzing. And then just, you know, a quick remembrance of, hey, the markets don't care about your culture. They, you know, they care about numbers, dollars, and cents. So you don't want to get caught on the wrong side of that Darth Maul candle if you're over leveraged.
Yeah, I mean, I said 100 million. A billion is, you know, 10 times that, and that's a lot of liquidations.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually in a couple leveraged positions there, TiVo, but luckily all of mine were in futures contracts. And this happened between the hours of 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. And for people who aren't as savvy with the futures market, it's closed from 5 to 6 p.m. So that entire move happened at a time where the futures markets were closed and my positions couldn't react. And thus, you know, they
interesting.
they weren't in any risk. The markets opened back up and it was like, you know, yeah, I was more red than I was at 100K, but
right.
you know, I bought lower. So, you know, I had an Ethereum long and a Bitcoin long position, and the Bitcoin one was like red, like less than 1%, and the Ethereum one was still green when all of those liquidations happened everywhere else. So anyway, crazy move. I'm sure there has to have been so many other people that were in the same boat that probably got spared a stop loss or a liquidation or something by the Nano and CME futures markets just being closed for that brief window. I think a lot of people got
usually
spared.
Everybody argues that the 24-hour markets is what we need, and you got saved from the non-24-hour markets.
I got saved by the TradFi markets there, but yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of people really got blessed. But, you know, all jokes aside, you know, we're recovering strong here. And Bitcoin's getting really, really close to poking its head back above 100K. And I think it's just a matter of time before we see it.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Yeah, but with ETH dominance dropping, there's some popcorning going on in the altcoin market, and there's some movers. And that's kind of what we thought is, you know, we do cover that on the normal rundown, but specifically dive into some of the top movers maybe in the last, you know, couple days here. And so I know you teed up a couple of them.
Yeah, I mean, you put this one on my radar. This is a coin that I used to have exposure to. And unfortunately, I don't anymore. But Orca has a 96% day. It was up 150% a little bit earlier in the day. But even right now, it's up 97%. From the open of its candle today to where it's at right now, which is just gigantic. And if we zoom out here, we can see that it was actually able to hit a new cycle high, but since then has hit some resistance and sold off. But it's not alone here. You know, we'll look at some other examples in just a moment. But for people who aren't familiar, Orca is a decentralized exchange for the Solana network, for the Solana ecosystem. They're kind of a competitor of sorts to Radium, who we've talked about on here as well. And so Orca's popping off, up nearly 100% on the day. I know another one that I saw, Tivo, that just came to my mind was Tron. Tron had a 96% candle a couple of days ago on Tuesday. And this is a, you know, tens of billions of dollar in terms of market cap project. And so they shot up to like a $40, $50 billion market cap from this move. Now they're still sitting around a $28 billion market cap, but Tron had a near 100% candle as well. Some of the other big winners that we've been watching are things like Sui, which was just able to hit a new all-time high as of actually today and yesterday, both kind of poking its head up into that new all-time high territory. And then one of the last big ones is one that, you know, we've talked about. We've had people on the podcast from the team, but that's Aerodrome, which is just skyrocketing to recontest its all-time high of around $2.40. And, you know, even right now, we can kind of see that it's up about 19% on the day over the course of, you know, pretty much this week here or the last, you know, week or two. We've seen it really rise about 70% here in the last 9 days, which is a pretty impressive number. So, you know, altcoins are winning across the board, and I wish we had time to go through all of them because, you know, we said Ethereum's heating up, Ethereum's hot, it's recontesting some of those higher levels, and a lot of these Ethereum ecosystem projects, you know, things like Uniswap, things like Aave are just taken back off like they got an Elon rocket strapped to them.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that, actually, I know that for sure, you know, Aerodrome was something that, you know, our team talked about a year ago, or, you know, when it first came out, you know, earlier this year. Is, you know, part of being our community is kind of the benefits that you get of, you know, getting to learn about those projects, you know, when they first come out with our newsletters and our coaching calls. So, you know, that's one of the benefits of being a part of our group, but just being a part of this community and the podcast. If you're not a part of the community, our podcast community alone, we've had, Ori, the, you know, a dev and creator of Orca on the podcast before, and she's been on our summit multiple times as well. And, you know, if something that you're considering is looking for more crypto alpha, you know, we have links below for the community. And we also have a link below for our next summit, which is next week, airing Tuesday through Thursday of next week. It is free for everybody. It's the Crypto Hedge Fund Summit. We have the link below. Check it out. We'd love to have you. And again, you know, we just showed you that chart of Orca. You know, that's somebody who's been on our podcast network, again, completely free, and also has been a part of our summit multiple times. You know, this is where you go to learn about these projects and get that crypto alpha. So you're definitely in the right place. And we appreciate you you being with us here as we, you know, kind of close down on the TA portion and maybe move to some new news that has absolutely been hitting the wire. It seems like there's, whether it's price action or news, there is literally something every, I'd say, 4 hours. It's not even every day. It's multiple times a day. And the newest one, or the two newest ones, is number one, the new SEC pick is in. It is Paul Atkins. And that is exciting. We know Gary. He's out. And he'll be resigning before he has the chance to even get fired. We've talked about that. But Paul Atkins is coming in. And I personally don't know a ton about Paul Atkins. I know that he is very pro-Bitcoin and pro-crypto, and that's kind of what we need. And I kind of came up with my own little joke that the SEC is going on the Atkins diet, and the menu is full of crypto. So I will be trademarking that joke for the next 4 years. But we do have a clip. So instead of us talking about, you know, who these people are, and we have another one, the crypto czar is next, David Sacks. But instead of us telling you who these people are, we want you to hear it from their own mouth. So the crypto czar position is actually a new position. I don't even know what your thoughts on this, Brendan, are in the sense of, in politics, we have Doge with Elon Musk and Vivek, and the crypto czar and the border czar. These aren't really necessarily real positions, but, you know, we're Trump, I guess, in this administration is going to be giving the power for people to be working in the bureaucratic industry of creating the framework for this type of industry. So when it comes to the crypto czar, it's David Sacks, who is well known in the business world. He is the co-host of the number one business podcast, the All In podcast. And, you know, he is a big tech guy, a big investor, an entrepreneur, and very bullish on both Bitcoin and crypto as a whole. So I didn't know. I think we both are more familiar with David Sacks than Paul Atkins, but I didn't know what your thoughts were on David Sacks as the crypto czar.
Yeah. You know, I think that this will be a good thing. He's a relatable guy. You know, most people have probably listened to their podcast or at least seen clips from it at some point in the last couple of years. And I like him. I'm all for it. You know, is he a crypto native guy? No, but he's a very crypto friendly, business oriented guy. And, you know, I believe that it was probably a really good pick. So I'm excited for it. And yeah, you know, let's see what he has to say.
Yeah, so here's David Sacks on Bitcoin.
But anyway, so I've been interested in Bitcoin for a while, and I think the transformational part of Bitcoin is this idea that we could have non-fiat money, right? We just, as we're talking about with the Fed, there is a huge risk of currency debasement when the government is in control, and particularly when you have the world's reserve currency. There's just such an enormous temptation to print money to finance your budget and to rack up loans that become unpayable. We're at, what, like 130% of GDP now we owe. So we owe an amount of money greater than the size of our entire economy or our economic output. that sounds very hard to repay to me. Mm-hmm. So the temptation will eventually be to monetize the debt away, basically to debase the currency to pay for this debt. That's always been a risk throughout history. And now what Bitcoin offers is a different kind of currency where it's not backed by a government, it's backed by math, it's backed by encryption. And so you don't have to trust the government that there will only be 21 million Bitcoin. It's in the code.
Fascinating. That guy is going to be our crypto czar, the first ever, which is exciting. And he obviously understands the concepts of Bitcoin. And I think across the board with Elon, Doge, et cetera, everybody's talking about this national debt, which seems to have been put on the back burner, I guess, since Clinton balanced the budget, which was the last time our budget was balanced. And just something here, here's a tweet from David Sachs last year, just kind of talking about, you know, cryptocurrency as a whole. So, you know, he understands Bitcoin, he likes Bitcoin, he's invested in Bitcoin, but he's also, you know, open to other cryptocurrencies. Here he's talking about AVAX. And then also I believe he is a Solana holder as well, and bullish on that ecosystem. And I do have another clip here of our crypto czar talking about Solana. So let's take a listen here.
That fund, I mean, it's like a 100x fund. It's just like bonkers.
Crazy.
And so as a result of that, we are indirect beneficiaries of this huge increase in Solana. It will end up being about, you know, $1 billion of, I think, Solana for us in terms of returns. But it's the multi-coin guys determine the trading decisions on that.
Yeah. And so people who don't know, Solana is a programmable, you know, Ethereum competitor, I guess, and it's at $50 billion or so market cap. It was trading at a dollar not long ago, and now it's at 164.
It's an Ethereum competitor, basically, for, you know, a smart contract platform. And there's a lot of people, I'd say smart money in Silicon Valley, who are betting on a flippening where Solana could ultimately overtake Ethereum as the preferred platform. But even
so, there you have it. Straight from the guy who will be our crypto czar, making regulations, working hand in hand with the SEC. And I apologize for the technical difficulties. We put this together last minute, but this is where I wanted the conversation to go, Brendan, is that these, and we'll get to Paul Atkins next. I have the video loaded, but you know, this is the type of person who's going to be making regulations for us now, not Gary Gensler, not suing Robinhood with a Wells notice, not slapping Coinbase and all these other people, Uniswap with Wells notices. These are the people now that are going to be going into power. So again, never financial advice, but you know, with the president and now this team of pro-crypto people that are going to be, you know, your legislators and your bureaucrats, like this is fascinating. If you're not paying attention to the space, which all of us are because we're talking about it, and if you're listening to this, you are listening to this and getting educated on this, it's a fascinating time. It's hard not to be super excited. So with that, you know, tweet about AVAX and that video about Solana and how he's talking about Bitcoin, Brendan, how are you digesting all this information this week? This is why I brought you on. I said, we got to record. I can't wait until next Wednesday. I need to talk about this now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy who's going to be put in charge of crypto. And, you know, he's going to have very close relations with the SEC. And he's literally saying, hey, like, I like AVAX. I like Solana. I have exposure to this stuff. And then the other big thing is that he's been saying is, crypto has been done so dirty by the people who are trying to regulate it because they don't understand it. And he's someone who does understand it. He understands Bitcoin. We heard him talk about that. We just heard him talk about AVAX and Solana, and I'm sure he understands a lot of other crypto projects and fundamentals besides those. And this is what we need. We need someone who understands this. And also, it doesn't have to be, you know, crypto doesn't have to be this wildly complex, hard thing to understand. If the guy who's being put in charge of the United States for the crypto side of things, if he is coming out here and saying, hey, I like AVAX, I like Solana, I like Bitcoin, well then, again, not financial advice in any way, but if he's coming out and saying that he's basically bullish on those, maybe they should be looked at. Maybe they should be paid attention to. Maybe those are the front runners for the next crypto ETFs, because it looks like he's interested in them, he's bullish on them, he likes them, he thinks that they have potential. And so that's the way that my brain comprehends this, is saying, hey, if the guy that's being put in charge of crypto is bullish and mentioning things like AVAX and Solana, well then they're probably at the top of the list for ETF approvals. They'll probably have an easier time getting them, but also, you know, maybe there's a little bit of bias in there just in this position. And so I look at those as investment opportunities now. And, you know, we've been talking about both of those for a while, especially AVAX this week. But, you know, as things are heating up, how can you not be optimistic after hearing stuff like that? Like, the people who are being put in the positions of power are so optimistic on this, and they want growth to really come back to the crypto space like we've never seen it before.
Yeah, 100%. And the actual person who will be basically mandating this legislature is Paul Atkins, who will be our new SEC commissioner. I teed it up before. I got it now. Let's hear from the horse's mouth, Mr. Paul Atkins, talking about the, you know, how the SEC should be looking at cryptocurrency and Bitcoin enforcement.
That's one reason why the SEC, you know, should be there, you know, with its ear to the ground to figure out, okay, which way are things moving, and let's try to accommodate, you know, activity that's not criminal, and then enable markets to flourish. Because if it's, you know, if it challenges incumbents and it helps to bring down costs for investors and for people who are trying to raise capital, I mean, that's the reason why we have financial markets, and to have capital find its way to businesses, and people take risks and they may lose all the money by investing in something, but that's their right. You know, they can go buy a lottery ticket and lose all their money.
I love that point at the end. You know, you can buy a lottery ticket. We've talked about this before when we've talked about meme coins, is just the amount of handle that online gambling has now for sports betting alone is in the billions and billions of dollars. And then you have, you know, bureaucrats and politicians saying, you know, you can't do that, or Vanguard saying, no, you can't invest in a Bitcoin ETF. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to say that, hey, you can go and sports gamble basically unlimited money away, as much money as you own. Oh, go gamble it, lose it all, place it all on a single parlay, take the loss, lose everything. Oh, go buy a lottery ticket, go to a casino, go do this and that, and you can lose all your money doing that. But it comes to an investment, many of which protocols actually have revenue streams, and they're saying, no, this is too risky. We can't possibly allow someone to do this. And that's just what doesn't make sense. And I think that that is the thought that's clicking in a lot of these people's heads now, is saying, hey, it doesn't make sense that it's regulated in such a harsh way, because that is prohibiting growth. And so we're going to probably see that policy change, you know, pretty soon here.
Yeah. And that's going to wrap us up on our serious talk for today. Our last topic is, well, I guess it is serious, actually. It's a little bit more lighthearted, but just to put a cap on it, you know, this is the type of stuff that, you know, hopefully you're aware of. And if not, you're in the right place, because we're going to bring this to you every week. If there's anybody new out there, we have tons of people on the YouTube right now, and on actually the Instagram Live. It's pretty hot. But please, you know, subscribe, whether it's Spotify, Apple, you know, YouTube, you know, we're growing right now, and it's super fun to see, and we appreciate you all. But as you can see, the news flow is bullish. We're going to be bringing it to you. We'll bring you the charts. We'll bring you the news. And this is this next and last topic is a mix of a good lesson that we have touted at this on this channel over and over, and also a little mix of pop culture, because we had another celebrity coin meme rug pull, and this time it is the infamous Hawk Tua girl. That was super viral earlier this year. Literally, she changed her life overnight from, I think she was working at a mattress store, to now, you know, basically being a millionaire, having a podcast, doing all the celebrity stuff. And she went ahead and was going to create Hawkcoin. And what it seems to be, I guess I'll tee it up a little bit, because this is my department, of my opinion on the matter, was definitely a complete rug pull. Very sad. If people invested in it and got pulled. But I also think that this is a classic case of somebody who's being led down the wrong path by a bunch of grifters. And it's really a black eye on the space. We're trying to clean this stuff up. We obviously, you know, don't promote any of this stuff for, you know, going to being a part of it, unless you want to gamble and probably lose your money, because these celebrity rug pulls happen more often than not. But
Yeah.
Are you up to date with the Hawk rug pull, Brendan, or have you not seen this?
No, I am. I think it's crazy that we just continue to have celebrity rug pulls just time after time. You know, if you see a celebrity crypto token, just avoid it. So many of them end up going to zero and getting a rug pull, and they turn into these disasters. And I just can't understand how anybody looks at them and says, hey, this one's going to be different after all the other ones that we've seen just go completely, just get blown up. So, yeah, you know, I saw it. It is super sad for anybody who did put money in it. They always hype it up. They always make all these big promises and have these lofty ideas. And then next thing you know, they're selling it off. It goes to zero. They bail out on it. And we just have seen that same process get rinsed and repeated. And I do hope that there's a sense of justice that goes into that, that deters people from doing this going forward. And I think that there will be, because the space is starting to get taken seriously. And that's a double-edged sword in the sense that, hey, if things are getting taken seriously, then the SEC is going to take rug pulls like this seriously. And I think that they've owned, the creators of it, owned something like 97 to 99% of the supply when they launched this token. It went up to a $500 million market cap and then tanked to like a $30 million market cap, or basically, you know, just kept plummeting. And there was, you know, the creator or insider's wallet addresses were just selling this thing off en masse. You know, I know at one point CoffeeZilla hopped in and was like, what are you guys doing? This is one of the most poorly executed launches and rug pulls that I've ever seen. And it just is. And I almost feel bad for her, because I think she was probably enticed or, you know, maybe borderline manipulated to do something like this. And oh, that's a that's a great meme. But yeah, I mean, that's what happened. I mean, it went up to a $500 million market cap and then just tanked. And I think that it's the people that kind of convinced her to do this. You know, I think it's more on them, but, you know, it's still on her for allowing it to happen. But yeah, I don't know. It sucks. You hate, dude,
CoffeeZilla was holding them to their feet to the fire. It was fascinating. And I think I totally agree with you. We're on the same page of how we think she was definitely led into this, and I don't have this audio, but I listened to it, and it was her talking about the launch and talking about the tokenomics, and she, you know, it was literally, it sounded like she was reading off of a script. Like, she's clearly not an actor by any means, you know, and I listened to it, and I was like, man, this sounds like she's just literally reading off a piece of paper. And the last thing that I do want the listeners to hear, because I think it's telling, like, you might love these celebrities or, you know, find them entertaining and want to get involved in something that they're doing, but like, this is how, at least in this space, it usually ends up. So I got about a minute audio here. This is the spaces after the rug that happened on Twitter. CoffeeZilla's already put her through the ringer. I think he left, or they even might have booted him out of it. And they, basically there was just people questioning Haley, you know, hey, who put you up to this? How much money are you making? And she kind of refused to answer. So let's listen to this, our last piece of audio. I think it's just good to hear of, you know, these people that you watch and consume their content nonstop, and you feel like you're maybe even friends with them or understand who they are. And then this is how it ends when they try and pitch you these, you know, rug pull meme coins. So let's listen into the spaces of, this was two nights ago, of how the Hawk coin rug pull spaces ended.
As much as we can say it's experimental, like, we all run, like, I run a business as well. And I have operational costs, and it's cool when, like, for example, those operational costs, for example, afford me to go fly somewhere internationally first class, for example. I'm just using this as an example. So there's like an incentive for someone who's like operating a business to basically like have a successful operation that's going. So I'm sort of curious, like, not for the token price itself, but just in terms of the fact that there's fees that are being generated. There's an actual, like,
hey, source guys.
Of income.
I hate to interrupt you, Nick. Well, hello there. But anywho, yeah. I'm going to go to bed, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
And that's how the spaces ended. You know, hard-hitting questions, people trying to get answers. You know, I saw something on chain this is kind of funny to say, but this is the world we're in. Somebody on chain took like $1 million of Mudang and moved it to Hawkcoin and went down to like 30K or something. Like that whole sentence is mind boggling to say out loud, but still it's people losing serious money and it's a shame. We've got some commenters coming in. Miller from Instagram, Miller4115 says you can't feel bad for people buying these tokens thinking that they're going to get rich. You know, while we agree with you that, you know, obviously there's no utility for it. Like you just, it's taking advantage of people. Not everybody, especially people maybe new to the space, don't understand and they're being led astray. Pine Seekin says this is the future of crypto. Rug pulls are going to be the new thing and it's going to keep the dark cloud over crypto. Your thoughts, Brendan? Mine are that I disagree. I think with all the new regulation coming in that I think we're going to clean up these streets actually.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot more serious tone. And this Haley girl might be made an example of, you know, she might go from hawk to talk to a judge type of thing. Yeah. And, you know, I think we're going to clean up these streets.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the streets are going to be cleaned up and that comes with regulation, right? For a while, it was always, hey, regulation was such a bad thing. Now it's shifted to regulation is looked at in such a positive light. But there's two sides to regulation. It lets the good and established, incredible side of crypto thrive and succeed without fear of negative consequences. And it also kind of acts as a warning sign to anybody who is a malicious actor or has ill intent. And it really punishes them for doing things that they're not supposed to. And before it was like the Wild West where both sides were kind of just doing whatever, good and bad. But I think what regulation really does here, and at least the way that we're looking at it, is that it tightens the muzzle on crypto. So, or maybe the leash, is that a better term? You know, it tightens the leash where people can't just get away with stuff anymore. And, you know, when you go and you do this, especially when you're a U.S. resident that is completely doxxed, I just can't see you getting away with something like that. So I think that people will have to answer. And, you know, we probably see less of these from public sources.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more.
Or at least less of these with no consequences and yes. No repercussions. I think that's the way to look at it. You know, these things will probably still happen, but I think that there will be consequences and repercussions for the people that do them.
Yeah. And then one final thoughts and prayers for this episode is to the German government. I tweeted this yesterday just because it made me laugh, but you know, the German government sold their Bitcoin at 55,000. It was a big deal. And, you know, they've missed out on an 86% gain. And I mean, it was billions of dollars that they left on the table. And they made a big deal of it, announcing that they're selling every last bit of their Bitcoin. And just thoughts and prayers for the German government. You know, Bitcoin's ready for you when you're ready to come back. Brendan, let's end on a question today, because I actually saw this question in our YouTube comments last week, and I forgot to bring it up on Wednesday, and it just came in again on the Instagram comments as well. And if you don't know, you know, feel free not to answer, and we can come back on it. But I do want to pose the question. There is a product called BITO, B-I-T-O, and people are wondering if it's a good buy because the price action hasn't moved with Bitcoin, and I believe BITO might be Bitcoin futures. And my guess is that maybe this product, and again, this is never personal financial advice, but I have been tracking it as well, and I'm not sure if you have an expert opinion on it. My thought was that this type of product fell by the wayside when ETFs came into play, and then the ETFs now have futures, and we have MicroStrategy, and all these other plays are now in the fold. And BITO was huge when there was no way to play Bitcoin. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I completely agree. I think that now the Bitcoin ETFs are looked at as the standard, and that's where people are going. They want to go to something like iBit or one of the, you know, publicly accepted U.S. regulated Bitcoin ETFs. And that is now the new standard for the stuff. And it is, you know, pretty much guaranteed almost to maintain parity. And that's why people prefer it. And also it's a lot more regulated and consistent. So, you know, personally, I wouldn't go and look at something like BITO anymore. I'd much rather look at something like iBit or, you know, maybe even, there's even BitX, which is out there, which is a 2X Bitcoin ETF. But yeah, I mean, anything, you know, the one from Fidelity or Bitwise or BlackRock, are all just, you know, really the standard now.
Yeah, that was from our friend still on Instagram, literally the entire time. Anona Created, thank you for sticking around. Sorry if it wasn't the information you were looking or answer you were looking for. Again, not personal financial advice for you in any means. You got to do your own research. But just a couple guys talking about crypto, a couple guys excited to be talking about crypto and be in the industry. Again, one last plug before I hand it off to Brendan for the close here. Check below. We got awesome links for our community. If you like this type of conversation and talk, you know, we have newsletters, we have coaching calls where we really dive in deep and get more of kind of a personalized relationship with our community members. Check that out. And again, a free event next week, the Hedge Fund Summit, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's my personal baby. I've curated, you know, over 27 awesome interviews with hedge fund, big money managers in the space. And you're going to want to tune in because there's going to be a ton of free crypto alpha. Guys, the link is below. Please check it out. And if you have some extra time, look at the merch as well. Brendan, I know you just got off a hedge fund summit interview before we did this. Final thoughts on the hedge fund summit and close us out.
I think it's something that everyone's going to want to watch. You know, we talked to a bunch of the ETF providers, asset managers, project leaders. I was just talking to a fund that or a group that focuses on early stage investment. I mean, these are people who bet on Axie Infinity before they blew up. They're people who bet on Athena. They are really, really good at what they do with early stage investments. And I just wanted to pick their brain about, you know, what goes into that process and, you know, how do they achieve it? What metrics do they like to look at? What industries are they interested in? You know, what sectors do they think can actually explode and do well? And they answered all my questions and kind of crushed it. So, you know, if you haven't gone ahead and signed up for that, I don't think you're going to want to miss it. It's next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we hope to see everyone there.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll on the episode this time since I was kind of leading the charge of the news. But thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, Brendan, for making the time. I know this was extra on your plate this week and for joining us. And for everybody, one last call, please like, subscribe, comment. You know, like you saw, we're interacting with you guys when we're live. We're answering your questions when you leave them in the comments. We appreciate, you know, you being a part of this community. Enjoy the weekend and we'll see you next week.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.